and welcome to another edition of Money Matters. My name's Mark Cuniberti. Before we begin today's show, which is show number 336, entitled Stock Jitters, yeah, I'm a little bit jittery, discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Of course, always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. If I mention any stock indices today, they are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. And of course, past performance is no guarantee of future results. Investing involves risk, of course, depending on the types of investments. There may be varying degree of risk in investments, and investors should be prepared to bear loss. Remember that today's show is my opinion only, and they do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff members, or underwriters. And of course, Money Matters is about money. As money does matter, and matters of money affect us all in some way or another, whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it. It controls our country, our economy, our planet, and some way or another controls every way we live our lives. Money Matters is about your money, your lack or abundance of it, your lives and livelihood. In short, it's about you. So yeah, thanks for joining me today. I'm going to check on the markets today and see where we stand. Of course, I've got my computer clicker going, so we're going to take a look at where we stand. And yeah, the Dow is sitting at 34,853 at the time I'm recording this show. And let's see if that's a new high. I don't know if that is a new high or not. Let's see. Is it a new high? It's almost a new high. The new high around August 13th was 35,515. So we're off what? About 700 points. The other markets beside the Dow, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, the Russell, basically those are just supermarkets. So if you buy a stock, they're sold at one of these markets. So if you buy Microsoft, it might be sold in NASDAQ. If you buy Caterpillar, it might be in the Dow or what have you. So the indices, again, just for your own edification, the S&P 500, the Dow 30 has 30 stocks in it. NASDAQ, a lot of technology in the NASDAQ, the Russell 2000, a lot of small stocks in there. So they're all about commensurate. They all kind of follow each other for the most part. They don't always have to. 52-week range for the Dow, 26,143 was the low in the last 52 weeks, and the high is 35,631, actually. And, of course, the COVID low was around 18,213, and the prior high, but right before COVID, was around 29,000. So we continue to plow upward. And in today's news, Morgan Stanley out from Yahoo Finance sees a potential 10% correction happening soon. And we're going to cover that today because I think I've been kind of warning along those lines in the last 6 weeks or so. I'm usually early on these things, but we are positioned to eject positions if the market starts falling. I use something called a stop loss. And that doesn't necessarily prevent you from losing money. But what it does is, let's say you have a stock that sits at 100, and I enter a stop loss order that is at 98. So if the stock drops to 98, it triggers a sell order from me to the market to sell it at the market. So it doesn't say, I want 98. It says when it hits 98, then put a market order in. So if it hits 98, I could be executed at 98.5 if the market, if the stock turned real quick, or I could be executed lower. So they don't guarantee losses, but they do generate an ejection sell. So that's what a stop loss. So Morgan Stanley sees a 10% correction happening soon. Remember, nobody can forecast or tell you which way markets are going. And I've been warning about it almost about 8 weeks now. Hasn't happened yet, but I am got my finger on the trigger. Okay, House Democrats propose a new tax, a couple of new taxes along the lines of capital gains and large IRAs and Roths and 401s. They're saying that they want to raise money for their $3.5 trillion budget plan. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean these things are going to pass, but that's what they're proposing. Some of the rules that they're proposing is they're going to end backdoor access to Roth accounts, large Roth accounts. Those are accounts that are tax-free once you pay the tax and open the account is what you pay them first. Then, of course, any gains you have are tax-free. They could change that of any kind. Remember, they can change whatever they want. And there are some other things in there that they're looking at. There's a threshold of $5 million on some IRA accounts. And there's some increase in the tax rates on the super wealthy. So, you know, I'm against. I've always been against increase in taxes. I just am against it. I just believe the government kind of burns money. And they can print the money anyway. So why even tax us? Tish takes money out of the economy. But what's interesting in this news article today from CNBC is that the Democrats may change the rules for mega RIAs over $5 million. Now, that is interesting because, you know, when you open up an IRA, you're basically doing it under the rules and conditions that exist at the time when you open it. But I've always said, they know there's trillions and trillions of dollars in IRAs, and they're, in my opinion, going to come after it. And they have continually done that. And so what they're looking at now is changing the rules. In the middle of the, you know what they mean, changing the rules in the middle of a blank, mega retirement accounts, they're going to require taxpayers to distribute requirement account balances that exceed certain thresholds. Now, not quite sure what that means, but basically it would function as a new type of required minimum distribution tied to the account value instead of age. So right now, when you reach 70, somewhere in the age of 70, 70 and a half, within that year, you have to take your required minimum distribution. And that's triggered by age. What they're doing now is looking at triggering it by value. So in other words, if you could be, I don't know, whatever they're writing in here, but I'm reading it as you could be 40, and if it reaches a certain value, you got to start taking money out. And then they do that because they want to tax the money that you take out, because when you do take out money from an IRA, it's taxed as ordinary income. So, people had said that Democrats are going to want to raise taxes, and of course, that's what looks like is coming down the pipe here. That's not to say Republicans don't raise taxes. I'm just kind of hitting it all with a broad brush. There are other changes that they're looking at, changing Roth. If you remember, a couple of years ago, I think back in 2016, President Barack Obama proposed capping IRAs at $3 million. So you couldn't have an IRA larger than $3 million. And that legislation that he proposed would require Roth IRAs to distribute 50% of the balance over $5 million each year. So whatever was in there, they would have you take a lot out so they could tax it. Because remember, when it sits in an IRA, it could be exempt from all taxes. So that's what news is out today. So we're going to be talking about my jitters in the stock market. I am jittery in the stock market. And we'll be right back in about 30 seconds to hear my take on why I'm kind of nervous. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. Okay, and welcome back to Money Matters. My name is Mark Cunaberdi. You are listening to 336, entitled Stock Jitters. So yeah, I've got some jitters here. They say history never repeats itself, but it sure can rhyme. If that's the case, I think I'm going to read you some poetry today. It's not going to rhyme, but I'm just going to kind of tell you how I'm feeling. During the first week of February 2020, before COVID slammed into us, I was sent photos of an empty city in China by an acquaintance. And I probably told you this before, but that city was the famous, now famous, or infamous metropolis of Wuhan. That is the proposed birthplace of our wonderful friend COVID. As I stared at the photographs of an empty airport and shopping malls, I immediately became concerned because we were already worried back in February of 2020 that the tariffs on China were going to knock down Chinese gross domestic product, which is all the money transacted in the country. It was going to knock it down by 1%. And the market expected that. But my worry was that when China posted their GDP figures, that it would be worse than 1% and the market would sell off. Now, seeing as the market had run from 18,300 to where it was, actually it had run from 17,000, the mid-17,000s, the Dow when Trump was elected, to around 29,300. It was an all-time high. So I was concerned. And if we were looking at massive profits, I thought, well, you know, I'm looking for an excuse to sell and keep these profits. So I didn't know what Corona was. I looked it up on Worldometers. I might have mentioned that on the last show. Worldometers, great place to see COVID stats, all the COVID stats that you ever want to see. They've got divided by country and how many people, just everything. Worldometers is that. So I looked back and I couldn't find a virus, and the earliest one I found was the one that was kind of famous, was SARS, the Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome. It sickened about 9,000 people, but had a mortality rate of 10%. Now, SARS had caused Chinese GDP to back off 1%. 1%. Just with 8,000 people sickened. It was the fear. So China was only the fifth largest economy worldwide. Now, I was looking at empty airports and shopping malls. And China now, in March of 2020, was the second largest economy, second to ours. So it concerned me. So I put out a show and I wrote an article in mid-February. And I said, I don't think market participants, investors, and all those traders and hedge funds and banks and retirement plans were taking Corona seriously. So I was watching the markets closely, and at the beginning of March, the market started to sell off. And so we publicized, with the approval of regulators, because when I make pretty big moves in portfolios, I publicize it. So I can't say, well, I said this. Well, this way, in radio, we actually keep the shows and the articles. So I did say it. I said we're starting to sell off in the first week of March. And lo and behold, that turned out to be an excellent move, as the Dow dropped 38% or so in the next 3 weeks. So it was the fastest correction from an all-time high to an official correction, down 10% or more, to a bear market, down 20%, in the history of the market. It was the fastest fall we've ever seen. And in about the third week of March, it seemed to stop. Now, the article that I wrote in mid-February said specifically this: unless Corona is soon contained, a lingering presence could rattle markets long-term with severe consequences being possible. That was written on February 10th, 2020 by yours truly. Severe consequences turned out to be an understatement. So today, I'm getting that feeling again. In fact, I getting that feeling 6 to 8 weeks ago. And I've been publishing that and shouting it from the rooftops. The similarities between now and March 2020 is striking. The Dow is again pressing up against all-time highs. Same thing it was in February. Bailout packages, unemployment bonus checks, Paycheck Protection Reimbursement Programs, the PPP, and other subsidy programs have ended or are ending soon. COVID, with the new Delta variant, our new friend, is Delta is spiking, And airline travel is back to where it was in June of 2020, which is the lowest it's been. And in the face of all this, even though all the money spigots are starting to be turned off, travel is dropping, like I just mentioned, and we're reopening with a vengeance. I mean, I saw pictures of football games this weekend that had 60, 70,000 people in it back to back. Baseball, World Series is coming. I don't need to tell you that the U.S. economy is opening like crazy. And, of course, we've got vaccinations, and we were told that vaccinations would make us immune. But now they found out that it doesn't make you immune. It supposedly keeps you from dying, or may keep you from dying. It helps with the symptoms. But we've found out now that you can get it vaccinated. You can spread it when you're vaccinated. And so the Delta variant is kind of proving that. Here it comes again. And in the midst of all this, theme parks are open. Football stadiums are open. 750,000 motorcyclists arrived at Sturgis in Idaho, I think. Restaurants, theaters, and other venues are opening up. So here we go again. So once again, as I mentioned last show, I find myself looking for a reason to sell in an attempt to preserve that which the rebound in 2020 may have given us. So once again, I've installed stops. And interestingly enough, I have a lot of portfolios, and all of them have been kind of eroding. A few that hold different things may be doing something different, but for the most part, the only thing that continues to go up seems to be the Dow index. That's it. But we're seeing consolidation. We're seeing the buy-sell line, or purchases versus sells, starting to fall. And it's a narrowing of the stocks that are going up. So hard to say. I've got stop orders in. And remember what I said. Nobody can forecast markets. I could be wrong just as much as I could be right. Although such methods such as what I've put in, like stop losses, do not guarantee against losses. Stops can help eject positions automatically if markets start down. Let's say I get hit by a truck, and that day the markets start down hard. If I have trailing stop orders already in, then those orders will be ejected at market prices. And so it's like a bad dream that keeps coming back. I think, and I'll shout it from the rooftop, I think Wall Street investors are ignoring the possibility that once again, COVID can revisit its assault on the human species, and in doing so, could also cause a severe reaction in the market. So it would not surprise me to see a 10 or 20 cent, 20% correction coming. Hard to say. When will it happen? Well, we're going to cover that in just a minute. We'll be right back with this edition of Money Matters. My name is Mark Gunaberti. You're listening to Money Matters, show number 336, entitled Stock Jitters. So, yeah, I am a little jittery. And, I ask investors, those that know, what month is historically the worst month for stock performance? And most answer October. Truth be told, this month, September, takes the prize for the month that produces the most stock losses. That said, there have been many horrible stock events that have occurred this month in October. Of course, the bank panic of 1907. Not many of us are around for that. Stock market crash of 1929 and Black Monday in 1987 all occurred during the Halloween month. That's because the 29 and 87 crashes were horrific. They've been covered in the news, and so that's what people read. And it's not surprising October is thought to manifest ghosts and goblins in the stock market. But again, September is the worst. And so although stocks are more often down than up in September, the differences in September versus the other month are slight. So it's not like glaring. September is a terrible month. The S&P, Standard & Poor's, stock markets, have scored a positive just about 45% of the time. 45% of the time. So 55% of the time in September, the S&P has been down since 1945 when we started keeping these figures. Interestingly enough, February is the only month that also has an average negative performance. So February and September, the only months that have shown negative over a long period of time. So my question is there something about the economy earlier in the year that makes it do something in September, in the fall, that causes this slight variation that September seems to be a bad month, as is February? Is there something going on in our minds specifically during September? Is it a bad month because we're going back to school and come back from vacation? Could it be something as superstitious investors are dreading the Halloween month in October, thinking that October is the worst, so they sell in September, the month before? Or is it like nervous traders returning from summer vacations from the Hamptons, and they just hit more sell buttons than buy buttons? Cyclical causes aside, in other words, just because it happens in the fall or the spring or whatever, whenever it happens, since the difference between September and the other months is so nominal, remember, in September it's only down, it's only up 45% of the time, so only 55% of the time it's down. So it's not that much of a difference. Perhaps it's just a reoccurring coincidence, right? It could happen. You roll sixes three times in a row on dice. It's in my opinion that historical patterns such as these, the stock market will fall more in September or October, we should not ignore them always. In other words, the Santa Claus effect where people buy stocks in December, the January effect where people buy stocks in January. There's the sell-off. There's an old saying, sell in May and go away. So sell your stocks in May and start buying in November to catch some of these other things. These are cyclical events that do have some historical precedent. And although they shouldn't be ignored entirely, I think the state of the economy, the political environment, and other macro events are not like news that happens at Apple or something like that. Macro events is like what's going on in the world, what's going on in the country. I think these take precedent over everything else when looking for a successful stock prognostication, like COVID, that's a macro event. Tsunami, that's kind of a one-off macro event. Political problems, elections, those are macro events. So as we enter into this month, September 2021, there are basically reasons to be both bullish and bearish. Not much help there, I know. I told you I'm a little bit bearish because this thing has run so far and so fast. But I do think that in this particular time, not because it's September, but because it's September in the year of 2021, after all the things that happened in 2020, boy, that's a month to remember. That's a year to remember, huh? I think fear should be elevated over elation. We should be more fearful than elated, which means at this time, I have more trepidation than normal. And my portfolio positions, as mentioned in the last 5-6 weeks, and today, and last show, currently reflect my fear. There are some bullish reasons. That's true. I'll give you that. The Fed is continually printing massive amounts of cash. They're handing it out to you and I and everybody else, and also willy-nilly to various banking entities of the world. And yes, they do hand out cash to the banking system and to foreign money conduits as well. Congress is continuing another stimulus or infrastructure program. And there are trillions of dollars for both infrastructure and individual enhancement flowing out of the Federal Reserve to people. You're talking about stimulus payments and bailout payments of $6 trillion and more. The reopening of the economy, albeit stalled by the Delta variant, continues to see the consumer exhibit a relentless propensity to spend money. Perhaps he's got all this money that the government gave him and he's been sitting home and he wants to travel and he wants to go out and he wants to eat out, et cetera, et cetera. Making up for lost times during the shutdowns. Now, the negatives. Why am I fearful? Well, the Dow has risen almost nonstop since March of 2020. It's nearly a double. Considering the state of the economy still sucks, in my words here, and the resurgence of COVID Delta, it's beginning to look much like it did before. I think people are ignoring the real state of the economy and what is going on. Buying euphoria appears rampant, and valuations, how much stocks cost in relation to historical valuations of how much they cost, they're looking overstretched. We do have some consideration about the President of the United States. He's got a couple of situations. He's got an escalating problem in the Afghanistan fiasco. He's kind of dumping his numbers down. And of course, there are questions we can't ignore surrounding his competency, his mental competency. So I'm not saying that as an opinion. I'm just saying that is a real thing. The Federal Reserve has printed money till the cows came home. And at some point, they can't keep doing this. They can, but bad things will happen. And if you listen to this show, you know they can. They'll have to cease their money creation at some point. So I am more fearful than I am elated. I am careful. I've seen portfolios erode in the last 6 to 8 weeks while I've been a little fearful in 6 to 8 weeks. So, you know, at some point I've got to say enough is enough and start to protect things. So remember, no one can predict market at any time. And I can't either. Have I predicted market movements in the past? Yes. Have I incorrectly predicted market movements in the past? Yes. So I have initiated trailing stops on all portfolio positions. Trailing stops, as mentioned before, are sell orders entered ahead of time, and they become market orders if the prices that I've set as sell points are hit. They may not protect against losses, but they may assist in unloading positions if markets fall. In conclusion, it is safe to say markets will correct at some point. How we deal with that correction, how investors deal with that correction, and what damage this correction may cause to portfolios is the million-dollar question. Will investors do anything at all, or will they just sit and do nothing and watch a market erode their money? Hard to say. So that does it for today's edition of Money Matters. I want to thank you for listening today. 336. Keep in mind, no one can predict market movements, as I have said, and past performance does not guarantee future results, and the views expressed here are my opinions only and should not be construed as individual investment advice or solicitation to buy or sell anything. The our website is free. It's moneymanagementradio.com. Moneymanagementradio.com. There's no charges at all. I'm not allowed to do that. It's just our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. And I hold California insurance license OL34249. And I'm a Medicare agent approved in the state of California. That's the disclaimer. You could contact me through the website moneymanagementradio.com or through the program director at this station. My name is Mark Cuniberti. I want to thank you for listening and go make some money.